I'd like to start with the Chet Meimariva, with the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, which involves his hitting the stone and bringing forth water. Rashi Shita, which is the best known of the different opinions, brought in Perikov Pasuk Yud Beis, is that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was and that he had been commanded to speak to the stone and it would give forth water. And erroneously, he thought that he had been commanded to hit the stone. And by hitting the stone and bringing forth the water, that somehow diminished the Avera. The Ramban in Pasuk Ches wonders whether Rashi's Pshat makes any sense at all. The Ramban says that there is no difference in the level of miracle whether one hits a stone and it gives water, or whether one speaks to a stone and it gives water. The miracle is a miracle which is identical. What's the difference? Stones don't give water if you talk to them. They don't give water if you hit them. Why was one greater than the other? And I'd like to offer you a few answers for the Ramban's kasha. The kasha of why it would have been a greater miracle to speak to the stone rather than to hit the stone. In the Yalos HaShachar, Baron Steinman says the following yisaid. He says that moifsim, amazing acts, don't by themselves convince people of Kiddush Hashem, of godliness, because it's the nature of the Yetzer Hara to bring terutzim, to say possible answers. Now the Rambam says, Me'olam lehem yehaminu b'kayach ha-moifsim. Kal Yisrael's emunah in God is not because of Kriyas Yamsuf, not because of the miracles in Mitzrayim. Our emunah comes from Har Sinai, from Gilui Hashem. Moisim themselves do not produce emunah. However, a moisis that comes with the kayach of a mitzvah, when it's a mitzvah, that kayach of a mitzvah is to be masniyah di yetzahara, to give kedusha. The neshama takes note of a moisis, of an amazing thing that happens as part of a mitzvah. Someone davens for something and feels the Gilui Shechina that he was answered, that lifts him up, because when it's part of a mitzvah, it influences the person. So Rabbi Leib Steinman's rule is that a maiseis influences the neshama only when it's part of a mitzvah. Therefore, had Moshe Rabbeinu done what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him, speaking to the stone, that would have influenced Klal Yisrael in a great way. It would have been a maiseis that was part of the mitzvah, what he had been commanded. Since he pulled off a maifis, but it was not what was commanded, that did not have the hashpah on Klal Yisrael. I want to point out that last week, I mentioned to you, from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, that a skula has no power unless the skula is connected to a mitzvah. He's saying a similar idea this week, that a maifis doesn't influence the person unless it's connected to a mitzvah. Rabbi Aaron Steinman has a sefer entitled Yimalei Pi Tehila Secha. And there in the second volume, page Tuf Resh Mem Vav, he offers a totally different teretz to the kasha. The Rabban's kasha as to what's the difference in miracle if Moshe Rabbeinu had spoken to the stone or hit the stone. And there he offers a more technical teretz. He says that kishuf, magic, exists in the world. And when Moshe Rabbeinu would cause water to come forth from the stone, maybe that's because he's a great magician. Says Rabbi Leib Steinman, magic, as it appears in Chazal, whether in Tanakh or in Gemara, is always influenced by an act, by a maisa that is done. Magic doesn't work with dibor, with speech alone. Speech is a spiritual thing. And therefore, magicians had to do maisim, had to do acts, in order to be able to bring about magic. And therefore, had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the stone, it would have been clear that this was not through Kayach HaKishuf. Since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the stone, it left place for doubters and skeptics to say, it was a magician, a magic trick. Moshe Rabbeinu is a great sorcerer. And therefore, it caused a lesser Kiddush Hashem when the water came from hitting as opposed to when it came from speaking. So these are two terusim of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman to the Rabban's Kasha. I'll add that in time of the Kurar, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky offers a third teretz, very typical of his style. He brings a medrash. When Moshe Rabbeinu was to speak to the stone, what was he to say to it? Please? What would he have said? Chaim Kanievsky brings a medrash. He would have said a Dvar Torah to the stone. And with that, Klal Yisrael would have learned that sustenance comes from Divrei Torah. Sustenance comes from learning Torah, as opposed to from the Yishtadlus of hitting the stone. And that was the failing of Moshe in not bringing about the water through Divrei Torah. So three terutzim from Gedolei Hadar, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman's two terutzim, and Chaim Kanievsky's one. Let's move on to a new thought. At the end of the parasha, and barely noticed, because Parsha Skukas has the most famous part of it being the Paraduma, of course, and the Memeriva, hardly noticed is that the last 15 psukim of the parasha are the story of the war against Sichain and Oig. And the fact that Klal Yisrael conquered these two kingdoms and vanquished these two kings. The battle against Sichem Va'eg is mentioned in Halel HaGadol. Halel HaGadol is the Halel of 26 lines, which we say on Shabbos before Baruch Sha'amar, the Halel that has Ki Lo'ilam Chastai, and it's interesting. There we say, L'makim Melachim Gedolim Ki Lo'ilam Chastai, V'yareg Melachim Adirim Ki Lo'ilam Chastai. Two lines that refer in general to the great kings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to destroy in conquering Eretz Yisrael. And then we add two more. Sichan and Oig are mentioned specifically, even though there were 31 kings that were vanquished by Yehoshua, and even though Moshe Rabbeinu also vanquished Midian, but Sichan and Oig, the battles of this week's parasha, are mentioned specifically, and that needs an explanation. Also, in the beginning of Parashas Devarim, we read, Hayo Moshe Be'eres HaTayra HaZayis. Moshe Rabbeinu explained Mishnah Torah when, Acharei HaKoysa Yesichain, after he vanquished Sichain and Oig, then he explained Mishnah Torah to Klal Yisrael. What's going on? What is that? Why is Sichain and Oig mentioned specifically? It should have said Acharei HaKoysa Yes Midian. After he destroyed Midian, then, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, Achar Teyosif Alamecha, knew that he would not live any longer. So it should say, Hayom Meshe Be'eres HaZayis, Achrei HaKaisei Es Midyan. Yet it specifically mentions Sichan and Oig. Needs an explanation. Also interesting to note is that Moshe Rabbeinu personally killed Oig, as Rashi brings. Something that didn't happen in the other battles. And therefore we need some sort of explanation as to why it is so special about the conquering of Sichan and Oig. People say, Kol HaScholos Kashos. When you start something, it's hard. And we wonder, to us it looks like the beginning of a Zman is easy. The beginning of a Maser of Daf Yomi, you start Brachis, it's easy. Haskalos are kashos. Haskalos are easy. And the answer is that it depends what you're starting. If you're starting something you like to do, you want to do, it's easy. But if you're looking to change your nature, if you're looking to improve, if you're looking to do things differently, Kol Haskalos Kashos, change is difficult. Change does not come easy. Klal Yisrael here had gone through 40 years in the Midbar. This generation hadn't even sinned. This generation sat and learned for 39 years. Now a change was taking place. Suddenly they had to become warriors. They had to go do battle. They had to go fight the war that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to do. Kol Haskalos Kashos. It's very hard to change. It's very hard to change from what you're doing. Change comes with difficulty. A person has to celebrate the first step of successful change. When a person is not matzliach and davening with minyan and getting up in the morning, and then he does it, he has to celebrate the haskala. He has to remember the haskala. That'll give him chizik to move forward. The battle of Sichan Va'eg the battles of Sichan and Oig were the first battles of this generation. Ki lo'ilam chastai. And therefore, they have a very special meaning. So one thought regarding Me'meriva, one regarding Sichan Va'eg. The third thought is something related to contemporary news. As you know, or you may know, this week, something unprecedented happened. The Kaisel was declared off-bounds to Orthodox Jews. It was declared off-bounds so that the women of the wall can go and have their prayer services there. What a busha, what a shame, what a kitchug on Klal Yisrael, that the Kaisel is declared off bounds on Rosh Chodesh. Unfortunately, we suffer from an appreciation of the Kaisel in general. It's something that we need to be mechazik. We go there and it becomes a place of shmuzerai, a place of joking, even a place of laughing and dancing, the remnant of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I'd like to share with you a thought that I had regarding visiting the Kaisel HaMaharavi. And to explain this, I'd like to be magdim. I'd like to preface with a thought regarding human nature. We have often noted that it's difficult for a human being, lekabel morais. It's difficult for a human being in general, and a Jew specifically, to accept and to listen to things that other people command a person to do. It's not easy. Not in relation to other people, and not in relation to God. It's hard to just take orders and do something. The refuah for that, the way to succeed in that, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within the human being the capacity for love, the capacity to connect to others. If someone bosses you around, someone says do this and that, it's very hard to get yourself to want to do it. However, when a human being has love for another person, when a human being feels connected to another person, when a human being feels a special relationship with that person, so when the person says do something, that makes it easy to do what the person wants. When there's ahava, then it's easy to follow the other person's wishes. And so too in our relationship with God. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Cheder HaMitais, the place of intimate love. It's a place of Hisachtos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place where Kruvim hugged each other. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of ahava. And for us, we have the Kaisel HaMaharavi. It's a remnant of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place to feel the ahava of Hashem with tears in our eyes, the longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The remez to the Kaisel is in Shir HaShirim, is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the song of love. And that's because the Kaisel is supposed to remind us of our longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our desire to get back, to connect ourselves once again, the whole Klal Yisrael, and his karvis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a visit to the Kaisel is supposed to evoke, a desire to feel close to God. When a person feels close to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's not difficult to listen to his command to do his mitzvahs. And perhaps when we visit, we can try to have that feeling. When you look at the Kaisel as the luz bone of the Beis HaMikdash. We're taught that every human being has a luz bone, a tiny bone, from which he will once again get up at Tchias HaMesim, from which his body will be reconstructed. The Kaisel HaMaharavi, look at it as the luz bone of the Beis HaMikdash, the remnant from which the Binyan HaBayis HaShlishis will come. Look at it with longing, with an avas Hashem. And visiting the Kaisel will not be a place of levity, will not be a place of shmuzerai. Let us honor the Kaisel. If we don't give kavod to the Kaisel, how can we expect a secular government to give honor to the Kaisel? I'd like to end with a great kasha. This kasha is Reb Chaim Kanievsky's kasha. What an imagination. Listen to this kasha. We have in this week's parasha the halacha of cherev hariyu kecholol, which is a halacha that a metal utensil that touches a dead body gets the din as the dead body itself. Rashi holds this only refers to a metal utensil such as a sword. Rambam Tosfos say this applies to all metal kelim. A metal kelim which comes in contact with a mace is itself like a mace. It is tamei for 7 days. Not only that, but if a human being were to touch this metal utensil, he too would have the tuma of touching a mace and would be tamei for 7 days. Frechter Chaim Kanievsky, in Time of the Krah, how is it possible to ever tevel, to put into a mikveh, this metal utensil? You would have to wait till the 7th day. Now, this metal utensil doesn't need parah aduma to become tar, the pasuk says, only may need only to be tevel in a mikveh. But when you tevel in the mikveh, the person teveling it touches this utensil. he himself now becomes Tamei for 7 days. Okay? He's Tamei for 7 days. But once he's Tamei for 7 days, and he touches the utensil now gets a fresh Tumah for 7 days, and you can't tevel it that day. So when you grab onto the keli in order to tevel it, the keli is metame you for 7 days. You in turn are metame the keli for a new 7 days. And this should go on forever. How is one ever tevel a metal keli, which is under the rubric of chayrav hariyu kachalo v'tzarafiyam? And with that, I wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos Kodesh.